Stem cells are cells that our body has and doesn't know that it has. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Stem cells are cells that we really don't know that we have. Throughout our body, from head to tail, we are stem cells. No matter what we think, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, we're stem cells. We are stem cells because what we are cells that are made of thought. And these cells that are made of thought are always ready to be conditioned. I like to say that the stem cells are like a platoon. And every day there are 10,000 brand new stem cells born in the brain, according to scientific study. How they have decided that, no one will ever know, at least I don't know, or care. But they say that there are 10,000 stem cells born in the brain every day. Now, what do these stem cells do? The stem cells are undifferentiated. They do not know what they're supposed to do. They are cells just waiting to be told what to do. They're cells just waiting to be instructed what to do. Now, think of this, and this is truth. This is absolute gospel truth. And who cares about the gospel truth? But this is absolute truth. And what is this truth? The truth is that every cell of our body is a stem cell waiting to be told what to do. And we tell ourselves what to do by our thoughts. And when we say, "I feel great," our body just tingles and jumps for joy and is alive and feels great. When we say, "I feel terrible," so be it. When we go to the hospital and we talk to patients in the hospital and we say to them, "My God, you look ghastly, you know, when are you going to croak?" And they say, "Well, the doctor says I got another day to go, you know." "Well, why are you waiting? You know, why don't you go now?" "Oh, what's the matter with you? What are you trying to do, kill me?" "No, you're killing yourself. Do you want to live?" "Well, of course I want to live." "Well, then start telling your body, tell every cell of your body, 'I like me, I 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 like me. I want to live, I want to live, I want to live, I want to live.'" And when you do that, your whole body will wake up and say, "Oh, we got new instructions. We got a new ball game going here. We got a new leader in our soccer field here. Wow-wee, is this going to be a game?" Now, why is it that in all professional sporting games, they want to hire the best player for each part of the game? And each part of the game needs a player who is so talented in his particular area. So they hire these guys. They pay them millions of dollars. Well, there are billions of dollars at stake. But they pay them well. Now, why do they pay them? Just for the show? Just to say, "Look, I got Mr. Best here and Mr. Fantastic here and Mr. Glorious here"? No. Because they each play their game well. Everyone on the team is going to expect these people to be winners. It's going to expect these people to be top-line people. It's going to expect them to be the kind of people that you want to be with. Now, how do they get that way? They believe in themselves. They spend all night on the court out there practicing away while everybody else is at a party. But their party is learning their game. Their party is learning to like themselves. "Hey, I can shoot a basket." We all know the story about Maxwell Maltz and his psychocybernetics. He had these two basketball teams, and one was in a dark room and practiced shooting baskets, and the other was on the court. And then he had both teams pitted against one another, and the ones who were in a dark room, they did not make a mistake. Every one of them shot every basket they shot because they saw themselves shooting it. They didn't miss, whereas the guys who were practicing on the court, they missed and worked. Well, they weren't too bad, but they weren't as good as the guys who shot in the dark. The guys who shot in the darkness, in their mind, always shot every basket as a winner. Now, this is what we want to do. We want to train ourselves to always shoot every basket as the winner. We always do what we want to do. What are those Globetrotters? Harlem Globetrotters. The Harlem Globetrotters were quite a nice group. Don't hear much about them. But what were they to do? They were stupid. They were really a bunch of jerks. They'd bounce that ball and go around here and dance around here, put it down through their legs and over their head and to one another. And they knew right where that ball was going. How could they do that? That's a chance thing. That's not a chance thing. Well, you don't know where the ball's going to go when you hit it. Well, if you know in your mind where the ball is going to go, that's where it goes. If you don't know in your mind where it's going to go, then you don't know where it's going to go. And kids who play ball, they see the ball going where they want to, and they practice this in their backyard, and they train themselves. And now, what made the woods so good, huh?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah. What made the woods so good? What made the Tiger Woods so good?
Repetition.
Envisioning his shot.
No. You see, this is what we think it was. Tiger Woods gets there. Number one, please don't ever misunderstand this. Tiger Woods is an actor. He's hired to be an actor. If Tiger Woods put every single ball in the hole when he shot it off the tee, he wouldn't be wanting to be watched. Who wants to watch that? It's a foregone thing. He always does it. That's no fun. But he puts himself into special, difficult situations, and he moves out of it with grace and charm. He always stays within the winning numbers. But he plays the game so it has some chutzpah in it. It has some imagination in it. It has some drama in it. Now, this is what the professional ball players do, the professional athletes do. They don't just play the game to win, which they do, but they play the game so it's a good artistic activity, so it's a drama, so it makes the crowd thrill, makes the crowds want to watch, and makes them want to pay. Now, your body needs to have some leaders. And the leaders are the words that you use. They're the prayers that you use. They're the statements of truth that you use. They're the belief in yourself. Jesus said, "It is done unto you according to your belief." It's done unto you according to your belief. All the great philosophers said, "Man, know thyself." Know yourself. Know who you are. Are you a winner or are you just a would-be? And if you're a would-be, then you're not going to hit the basket. If you're a winner, boop, you're the Globetrotter. Can you imagine yourself as a Boston Globetrotter? Can you imagine that? Imagine yourself just do. I have been in Switzerland so many times. And every time I'm in Switzerland, I'm with all these crazy people who think that soccer is, what do they call it there?
Football.
Football. It's such a wonderful thing. And so what do? They have a little bean bag. You know what a bean bag is? A little bag filled with beans. And they take it with their foot and they burp, throw it up in the air and throw it over their shoulder, make it land on the shoulder, put it here and put it there. Then, that's just the entertainment. That's just the beginning. Then they take the ball and take the ball on their finger and spin it. Well, anyone can do that. Really? Show me. And then they take the ball with their toe and they knock it against the wall and have it with their head and then catch it with their shoulder and catch it with their toe, catch it with their knee. How can they do that? That's magic. No. Every single ball goes just where they want it to go. And every time. And when it doesn't go where they want it to go, they haven't been a good leader, a good teacher to every muscle in their body. Now, Tiger Woods cannot take his club and twist it and make the ball do what he wants to do. He sees the ball where he wants to put it. He doesn't watch it travel. He doesn't see where it is and where it's going. He sees it landing where he wants it to be. He wants it right on the edge of the rough. He wants it right in the middle of the water hole. He wants it in the sand trap. He wants it where it's going to be exciting to watch. But when Tiger Woods was learning from his father, he hit every ball to whatever he wanted. Now, have you ever played snookers? Have you ever played pool? And what do you do when you're doing pool? Put this ball in that hole, put this ball in that hole, and put this ball, blah, 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 blah. How can you do that? You don't know if your ball is going to be hit just right, so it hits that ball and goes off of this ball and turns this ball into that ball and brings it. They do it. They don't do it just once. The good people, and that doesn't mean that they're nice people, but the good people means that they got talent. They know what they're doing. They put it just where they want to because they talk to that ball. No, they don't. They talk to their fingers. No, they don't.
Visualizing.
I'm sorry?
Visualizing.
Yeah, they visualize. Here we're talking in the middle of the conversation, but that's right. They visualize. Okay, what do they visualize? They visualize the ball what? Doing what they tell it to do, right? So this ball hits the 8 ball, and hits the 7 ball, hits the 10 ball, and they visualize that. Now, there's no way they could make that ball move that way. There's no way geometrically or mathematically that they could do that. They do that with their thought, with their mind. I was at club out here. It was a tennis club. The name will probably come to me. And it's a beautiful tennis club in Southern California, and they teach tennis. And I was covering for a newspaper, and the instructor was top-notch, and he was teaching the people how to take their tennis racket and hit the ball. And so he's picking his nose and hitting the ball out between his legs and over his head, and he wasn't even looking around. He was just hitting the ball, and fabulous, fabulous. And then he showed the people. He said, "Where do you want it? What are you doing? That ball belongs to you. That ball goes where you want it to go. And you want to play the game so the game's exciting and drama and speed and magic." And he showed everyone how to do it. And then he took videos of them and showed them where they were thinking too much. They were thinking too much of trying to manipulate the ball. You can't take that racket and turn that racket just the way you want, because the racket isn't going to be... Now, how do you get the racket to catch the ball and put it to here? Now, you want it to go down here just a degree or two to go here. And how are you going to do it? Now, how's it going to go fast enough? Or maybe a slow ball. And then somebody reaches out and it drops right in front of them. You know, it's an artistic brilliance of it. And the brilliance and artistic quality of this is done because you know in your mind what you're doing. You're talking to your stem cells, and your stem cells are getting out there and doing exactly as you asked them to do. Now, do you want to be wealthy? Do you want to be healthy? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be surrounded by friends? Tell your stem cells that. Just tell your stem cells that you have the charisma for being a happy person, and then smile. Tell your stem cells that you have the charisma for being a good father. Now, how do you do that? Being a good mother, being a good brother, being a good sister, being a good grandma, grandpa, being a good whatever. How do you do that? You do that first by liking yourself. And when you like yourself, then you will play a most admirable game. Because stem cells are always waiting there for us to tell them what to do so that they can go and accomplish whatever goal we have in our heart for them. Now, what I have just said is a bunch of malarkey, a bunch of bull. Unless you look it up in the scientific journals, Discovery Magazine, Scientific American, Popular Science, look them up in any one of these and many others, and they will say exactly what I have said and more, because it is what is happening, and scientists are only now becoming aware of it. And this university,
Singularity
University. See, well, I need a little helpers right here. The Singularity University is being written about in Business Week magazine, and they're talking about the Singularity University, and they've just had their graduation class of the first summer course there of people who are absolute geniuses. And what they have done is they have decided they're going to create a chip that has every aspect of our brain in the chip. And they'll be able to put that chip in a human body, and that human body will act in the perfect way at all times. Or they're going to develop a chip which will be a human body chip, like a human body, and then they'll put a human brain on that chip. And it'll work that way. Sounds stupid, sounds silly, but here they're paying billions of dollars investing in the school. IBM is investing in it, Xerox is investing in it, Microsoft's investing in it. All these big companies are investing in this, and they're stupid. They're idiotic. That's irrational. But it's true. And it's being done. You just come up with a solution. Why anyone as idiotic as Bill Gates can quit school and go off on a tangent and become the world's richest man and not even know it's happening to him. He wasn't counting it while it was happening. He had no idea it was happening. But it happened because he put his stem cells to work on being himself and having fun and doing what he thought best he could do. And he did it amazingly well. And the same with many other of our wonderful, beautiful, undisciplined beings who are far more disciplined than we'll ever know. Our stem cells are waiting for us to tell them what to do. Are you ready to tell your stem cell what to do? I'm telling my stem cells what to do all the time. And I like me. And I like me. But I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.